Welcome to another episode of The Shift with Elena Agard. In this episode, I chat with James. He's a registered sports nutritionist and triathlon coach. He is based in the UK. He is really knowledgeable around like nutrition and just overall wellness. And he has this wide spectrum of knowledge around just how to live well, and particularly how do you train for highest performance, right, in your personal life and professional life. He's also the head of nutrition for Hurry the Food Up. So it's a vegetarian food website where he advocates for sustainable living and healthier dietary habits, really focusing on weight loss and muscle building. We talk a little bit about intermittent fasting. We talk about preparing for triathlons and just what does that look like. So he works with athletes, professionals, and just everybody else in between. I found this conversation very interesting. I've just recently signed up for my first mini beginner triathlon that is going to be happening in June 2024. So I'm really excited about it. So this was super interesting to me. I've always struggled with food in general, and I think there's so much that we don't know. And so if you're interested to learn more about, you know, what works best for you, or just get your head wrapped around healthy foods and, you know, how do you choose what's right for you, essentially, right? Like, everybody's different. So I thought it was really knowledgeable. Check out this episode and let me know what you think.
James, welcome to the Shift Podcast.
Thanks very much, Elena.
So tell me a little bit more about you, what you're doing within the health and nutrition and all those things. Talk to me.
Sure. So I'm a registered sports nutritionist and advanced clinical practitioner, or ACP, here in the UK in the NHS. So I kind of have two roles. So as an ACP, I work more specifically in health and medicine. So I work in general practice or family medicine. And I have a role very similar to a general practitioner or family doctor, but I'm a paramedic by background. So I work clinically a couple of days a week doing that, and I'll see pretty much anything that you might see a family doctor for. So whether that's urgent or routine. And then the other part of my roles is within sports nutrition. And there I have two roles again. So I'm the head of nutrition for Hurry the Food Up, and we're a vegetarian-based food website. And our focus is helping people to live more sustainably and healthier following a vegetarian diet. And we specialize in weight loss and muscle building. And then I'm also the founder of Nutrition Triathlon. So I work with amateur and professional endurance athletes. And that goes from anyone doing their first 10K all the way to people working in, people competing in elite sport. And that's people doing international races, trying to get podium positions. So I have quite a variety with that. And I'll be honest, it's a very privileged position, and it's a really great mix just because of the diversity I get.
Yeah, it's I love it. First of all, I love anybody, but when I meet people who are just multifaceted, I think it's really, really exciting. And I think it probably is allows you to also see things from so many different perspectives. So it's quite quite interesting. And I'm going to ask you later how you manage all of your time and family and all of that, but we'll get to that towards the end. I'm curious, what did you study? What pushed you? Like, when did you decide that you want to go into this field? Like, was it something in your childhood you're like, and you know, I really love this. Like, I really want to talk about nutrition or health or sports?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And in some ways, I kind of just fell into it. So the preface to all of this, I guess, is that my father died when I was 10. And that was one of those things which probably just changed the trajectory of my life a little bit, because during that point, we, as a family, got a lot of support. And I think that kind of made me realize how important it was to be able to have that support, whether that's friends or family or healthcare professionals. And so from early on, I think I probably knew that I wanted to work with people or helping mm-hmm. people, but I didn't necessarily know what. So when I was 16 in England, we go to sixth form, or you might go to college, but I still didn't really know at that point what I wanted to do. I thought I probably wanted to do something within medicine. In my mind, I thought maybe I might be a paramedic, but still wasn't really sure. So I took a gap year and I started working as a carer, just because I thought I'm going to get some experience and see what it's like. Enjoyed that and realized I liked helping people in that sense, but it wasn't really active enough for me. I felt like I kind of could be doing more. So that was, I applied to university and applied to do paramedic science, it was called. From that, qualified as a paramedic, and again, really enjoyed that, but kind of wanted to do more. So I went back to university, started doing a master's degree. So I went to Bristol University, the West of England, and started doing my master's degree there and started transitioning into general practice, and was very, very fortunate in my roles there in that I work in very good practices with a lot of support from GP mentors and colleagues. I then just got to the point where I like challenges and I like learning. And although there was more I could learn within health and medicine, I wanted to just broaden my horizons a little bit. And at this point, I had already kind of got into triathlon or was dabbling in it. And I thought, well, I like food. I really enjoy that. I like science and I like exercise. So maybe let's just do something that combines them. So I decided to do a master's degree in sport and exercise nutrition. Did that, and then that just led to more opportunities and wanting to work within endurance sports, more specifically triathlon and running are kind of specialities. And it's just one of those things that snowballed from there.
That's interesting. I'm curious to get your thoughts on the kind of why the vegetarian lifestyle. And I'll tell you, give you a little bit of context. So I did vegetarian for a while, like in my 20s, and then I went to only eating like fish, and then I went back to kind of eating meat, you know? And I'm just curious your thoughts on, is it for everybody? Because I felt good and different through each of these experiences, you know? And I definitely see like a benefit of vegetarian, but through my own experience, I found it really depends on each person, and it depends also on the quality of meat that you're getting. So I think that, so I'm just curious, like, just your thoughts about it, because, you know, there's a lot of talk about it, right? Like, what's right, what's wrong?
Yeah.
Like, you know, is there a right answer?
Yeah, no, and probably not. I mean, I should preface it and say I'm a pescatarian, so I eat fish a couple of times a week, and that's just because I prefer that. And maybe I think it's probably a little bit healthier. But there is, as you're very right, there is a lot of talk about diets and what diets are healthier. The truth is that there are, I guess, outliers in that we can say certain diets probably are not healthy. So we're thinking of things like the carnivore diet. Those typically are not the healthy diets, the kind of extreme ones. And then there's a real middle ground. So it would be lying to say that following a vegetarian or vegan diet is definitely the healthiest option because we just don't have enough evidence. We know that people can follow pretty much any diet and be healthy or unhealthy because it depends exactly, as you say, the quality of the food that you're eating. Are you eating enough micronutrients? Are you eating enough fruits and vegetables, enough fiber? There are so many facets to it. And I think that this is a really interesting thing within nutrition. And when it comes to diets, is that people want something to follow. And I think it's probably because they want something to believe in and they want some to attach themselves to something because that way they have I guess it's almost not quite as strong but like a cult because they want that and it kind of gives them a connection and a sense of purpose. And so yeah, there is so much evidence out there that it's almost a little bit overwhelming. But the truth is, if you eat a predominance of plant-based foods, plant proteins, vegetables, fruits, lots of fiber, you're going to be doing pretty well. Probably red meat, and lots of red meat isn't overly healthy, but other bits of meat, I don't think there's enough evidence from my point of view to say it's unhealthy. So I think that's really important. If you're following a vegetarian diet, generally it's more sustainable and healthier and environmentally friendly as well. So you've got the ethical and moral aspects of it. But also, yeah, we know that eating meat generally is quite a labor intensive and isn't great for the environment. So that's another avenue which people might want to explore or why they might want to explore a vegetarian diet. But yeah, I think it's very hard to specifically say the vegetarian diet is the best. And I think anyone who wants to say that is probably cherry picking slightly.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that perspective. You know, like you're not married to one thing or another. And I think I don't know enough about the environmental impact. I mean, I know some, but not enough to like really talk about it. But I do think that there is something around the qual, like I said, the quality of the meat. You know what I mean? And that's where. So like, I'm with you. Like, if I'd rather be vegetarian than have than eat poor quality meat full of hormones, full of highly processed, whatever it may be. Like, just all these things. They're just like, I'd rather go vegetarian. So I think that I kind of see your point. Like, for majority of the people, you know. Considering that a lot of people, at least like in the US, don't have access to quality food. And I'm talking quality from a nutritional perspective, not like, because even your regular grocery store is questionable, the kind of meat that's in there. So I think from that side, yes. So unless you're like hunting your own, I would probably, you know, I'd probably agree with you on that sense. Like, unless you're hunting your own meat, your own animals, or you're getting something really high quality, I can see how eating vegetarian could be a better option, you know?
Yeah, and it's definitely you can get everything you need through a vegetarian diet. So again, that's one of those sometimes misnomers that people say you can't get all the nutrients you need. You definitely can. You just have to maybe work a little bit harder and kind of know a little bit.
That's a good point. I'm curious, you know, there's a lot of talk, right, about nutrition, and we know, like, and there's a lot of content out there now, yet as a society, at least in the US, and I think it's similar in the UK, we're just getting more obese. I think, don't quote me on this, but I think last I read it was like 70% of Americans are obese. I mean, in obese, we have to determine, like, obesity is actually like there's a fine line between like there's a difference between like on a border of obesity and like being super obese. But basically, a lot of people carry a lot of extra fat. How are we getting to this? Like, what is it? What do you think it is? What's causing this decline?
That is a million-dollar question, and I've thought about this myself a heck of a lot in where the responsibilities lie, because there are so many places I guess you can point finger at. I guess for me, the core part of it is probably lack of knowledge, and it's at what step of the ladder that lack of knowledge is happening and where it causes the issue. Because most people, and I know this from my own anecdotal experience, but when you look at the research, people don't really know that much about what they eat or what they're consuming, how many calories they're expending. And in a sense, that's okay. But people are getting fatter. We know society is getting fatter. So there is clearly a problem. And most people don't want to be unhealthy. And we know that obesity is linked with a whole myriad of health problems. So it's not a question of that they want to be there. Something has gotten there. There is some sort of mismatch. And then there's also that whole discussion around motivation as well, because obesity is a terribly complex thing in terms of what gets them there. And so I think there's also a huge question, as well as knowledge of social demographics, of income, you know, where someone is in the world in terms of their job and how much money they have to spend on these things, because typically those in a lower socioeconomic status will be or more likely to be obese. And that's a huge problem as well. So I think there are just, I don't have a good answer because there are so many parts of it. I think we need a better education system from the ground up. We need parents to be able to teach their children better. We need schools to be able to teach it better. There's a whole lot in terms of marketing of ultra processed foods. They definitely have a lot to answer for, but they are not the sole reason for it. And I think, again, I talked earlier about kind of diet cultures. You will then get people shaming both ways in terms of ultra processed foods, high sugar foods, high fat foods. You can always find research that will point fingers at both. But actually, when you get to the core of it, if people didn't eat as much as they did, we wouldn't be getting fatter as a society. And that's the question of where how you fix that. I think knowledge and some empathy will probably go a long way.
I like that. I appreciate that answer. I think knowledge and empathy can go a long way to solve, to at least begin a healthy conversation around a lot of issues, not just the nutrition. It's interesting you mentioned the socioeconomic kind of status because in the US, like literally this just happened like a few months ago. My partner and I, we were driving through a kind of, you know, not so not the nicest, not the wealthiest part of town, more like, you know, lower class kind of income. And we could see on every corner, There was a fast food chain, fast food restaurant, and then we would shift into like a nicer area, and there's none of that there. So it's more like you'll have your organic stores or your mom and pop shops that are the like, farm to table type thing. So it's really interesting how, I mean, there's a whole system that's in place, right, to almost like not to go like conspiracy theory on it, but like to keep people down from certain, you know what I mean? And I think there's also, to your point about education, there's a lot of misunderstanding about how much things cost. People think to eat healthy is a privilege, and it's but like no, like you just have to make different choices at a grocery store, at the same grocery store that you go to get X, Y, and Z, and it's effort as well, like to make time to meal prep. Right. So I don't know. Do you see the same in the UK?
Yeah, absolutely. And the things you've mentioned are so true. And I mean, so because I work in general practice, and I see a lot of patients, I see a lot of mental health patients, and a lot of patients who are obese or have chronic health conditions, which are essentially self-inflicted. But we know the majority of chronic disease is self-inflicted through kind of poor lifestyle, whether smoking, alcohol, obesity, whatever gets in there. And you're really right there around the issue of people not knowing how to do it and thinking that healthy is expensive, thinking that healthy is boring as well and doesn't taste good. And that's one of the things as Hurry the Food Up we try to change is that connotation that healthy must mean pricey. But also I guess I have a lot of sympathy as well for those mentioned in the kind of low socioeconomic range status, but there are a lot of people with depression, anxiety, and they often have a whole heck load of stuff going on in their personal lives, which is really difficult to manage. And I think when you just tie that into everything else, probably a lack of education, poverty, it's so difficult, and it's so difficult to get out. And you can see then why obesity is such a problem, because it is so complex, and how you fix it, I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I think the sympathy part is important. I think it's easier to say, and I mean, listen, I tend to my audience knows I tend to be the person that's like, listen, just go out for a walk, like go do something, like stop feeling sorry for yourself type mentality. Especially for so there are some people that do have true mental health challenges in terms of clinical, like there is really something there. But I feel like a lot of people, it's a lot of self-induced and a lot of like confusion between depression and I just had a shitty day and I just need to get out of this mindset. Said so I'm and but I also know I've my weight fluctuated my whole life, and a lot of it was emotional and stress related for me, and I got myself out, but it's very easy to slide into it. It's very easy, and I can't even imagine. I lived a pretty privileged lifestyle overall in life, and I can't imagine what it's like to be in a certain situation, to your point, and like the struggles. And the last thing you really worry about is, your own health when you need to put food on the table and so on. So the question to you, I'm curious, like how much work do you think, or do you do, for example, about mindset and that mental health before you even try to tackle the anything else, the food choices?
Yeah, and tough one really. So I mean, what I would say as well, and I definitely agree with you in terms of sometimes there has to be an element of you just need to do this, or you need a bit of tough love, because that's actually really important. There does have to be an element of ownership and accountability, and this links to the mental health side of things and the mindset. But and this actually goes for so many walks of life, is finding out what motivates that person and where their desires are. Because we can talk about the principles of losing weight or getting healthier or running a successful business or whatever walk of life. It's very easy to talk about those, but it's so much harder to actually do it and then do it continuously, do it consistently over time. And certainly when it comes to health and nutrition, it's trying to work out what is it that's going to motivate that person. Because, so you might have heard this already, but there are the behavioral change cycles, and you can't really force someone to do something, or you might be able to do, and it's going to stop pretty quickly because they're not going to be able to do, like you might be able to force them for a week or two or kind of coerce. But if they're not already at the point where they want to change, if you don't have their buy-in, it's not really going to be a long-lasting success, because after a month or two, it's going to fizzle out because they haven't understood why they need to do it. You haven't found that right motivation. So there's a huge amount of rapport building which is necessary, or sometimes it does depend totally on your person, but actually understanding it. Because I could say to someone, you need to stop smoking or you need to stop drinking because it's going to give you heart disease and increase your risk of cancer. But for most people, that actually probably just goes straight off their back because that doesn't really make a difference to them. But perhaps if you phrase it in a different way, and you might talk about, for example, being able to play with their kids or grandkids for a longer amount of time, that might be far more influential for them. And that gives them enough motivation to go, you know what, maybe I do need to change. So I think trying to understand motivation is really important, and looking for intrinsic motivation rather than extrinsic. So rather than just kind of focusing on performance or goals, kind of how they feel, how they move, how much more energy they have, those might be far more important. And then there's just such a big spectrum. So some people I work with might need that sort of discussion. Some people are already super motivated and it's a breeze. You can tell them how much to eat or give them some guidance and they just follow it. So I think it's really understanding individuals and thinking of them as an individual rather than just kind of taking a blanket approach.
I'm curious also, hurry the food up. Talk to me about the name and what where did you come up with the name? And talk to me a little bit about, you've already mentioned some work that you're doing, but tell me more. What's the mission? What are you guys trying to accomplish?
Yeah, so I can't take any credit for the name. I came on way after it was created. So Hurry the Food Up was created by Dave and Hauke, and they created it, I think it was 2013. They were already kind of following transitioning to a vegetarian diet, but wanted to be able to cook healthy recipes for busy people. That was the original tagline. And it was to try to show people that vegetarian food can be fun, it can be quick and healthy. And we've kind of gradually transitioned, I guess. So I came on as the nutritionist 3 years ago, around that sort of time. And then the focus has been far more on their health side of things, kind of health and longevity. So we have two main kind of areas that we're working. So one is more specifically health, weight loss, sorry, and weight loss for females. And that was because we had some kind of I guess motivation from families in that, so me and Dave are brothers. Our mum wanted to lose some weight, and Hauke's mum also wanted to lose some weight. And it was kind of, well, how do we help them do that with a vegetarian diet? And that led us to create vegetarian meal plans and create a vegetarian weight loss course. So that was kind of how that was born. It had that personal element to it. And then also because we're all into fitness, we then had a kind of separate but similar kind of part of the business, which is focused on activity, kind of healthy, active lifestyle, putting on muscle. So the kind of opposite end of the spectrum to weight loss.
Nice, interesting. How do you manage all of these things that you're doing? What do you do? What do you do to lead that healthy lifestyle? I see the bikes in the back. I'm a huge bike person as well, so I love that already. But talk to me about like what is your routine like? How do you take care of yourself, stay balanced, and so on?
So I guess my approach is that I look after me first. Now, I realize that I am in a slightly privileged position in that kind of flexibility with job, with life, and how things are set up. But I've always taken the approach that if I look after my own health, and that's physical and mental health, everything kind of follows. And so that's the approach I take with business as well and managing everything else. So I always make sure every day, well, I have a rest day just because I do train quite a lot, but I make sure I get exercise. I try and walk every day. I always have a lunchtime walk. I do my exercise in the morning before, when I kind of get up. I get up at 5 a.m. most days, and I stick to my routine. And I personally find that if I look after that, then everything else is so much easier to handle. Now, I have a lot on my plate in terms of trying to do the different stuff with the businesses. So then the next thing is priority. And I think, so I'm a big fan of to-do lists and a big fan of longer term goals and short term goals, and actually being very clear on what's going to drive your business forward, what's going to be the most important aspects to work on that's going to bring you the returns. Because I think it's very easy nowadays to be busy but not really doing much work. So yeah, it's hard, but I guess I like challenges, and I'm probably one of those people who sit on the, I like to be, feel like I have a little bit of pressure because that makes me work well. You know, that old thing where you have a deadline which is 3 months away and you don't really do that much. And then as it gets closer, you start realizing you need to. So I like to set those sort of goals and deadlines to kind of keep me working.
Same here. Like I need, like I always say, like I operate best under pressure, and I just like that's just yeah. And I think a lot of people are like that. It's like the more busy you are, the more you're able to, the more you know how to prioritize because you have so many things you need to accomplish. So, and I think the less you have on your plate, the more you just procrastinate. So, but talk to me about your thoughts on intermittent fasting. That's also been, you know, over the last couple of years, it's picked up a lot of popularity, although in most religions, they've been talking about fasting for a long, long time and the benefits of it. But now it's starting to enter into the sports world, and just like in general, like that's like the thing to follow. So I'm a fan personally. It works for me, but it doesn't work for everybody, right? Curious just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, can I also ask you a question back? When you
Yeah.
say it works for you, what do you mean there? Can you expand?
Yeah. It works for me in terms of I f let me just tell you this. I feel good when I do my fasting. When I like if I have like just a couple of meals a day on the lighter side, that usually gives me more impact in terms of if I want to lose weight. So it kind of decreases for me what again, personal experience for me, it kind of decreases my overall appetite. If that makes sense. So when I do eat, like I usually, you know, like I usually do like 14 hours, 15 hours. I don't do the 16 hours, but like I do like 14 hours plus. I just feel better. I feel good versus having like proper like 3 meals a day. So yeah, that just kind of sometimes I'll do like two. I just feel better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I would come at that from two different angles. One, the weight loss side of things, and one kind of energy and consistency. So from a weight loss point of view and weight management, intermittent fasting definitely works. We know that very clearly from the evidence. It's a really good tool for losing weight. However, it is a tool. And what I mean by that is intermittent fasting doesn't do anything differently to normal calorie restriction, i.e., you eat smaller meals over the course of the day. There, lots of people like to look into it and try and suggest there's hormonal changes or that there's other benefits when it comes to losing weight. But realistically, the reason intermittent fasting works for some people is because they simply eat less calories. And that's what I mean when it's a tool. For some people, it's just a way that they can consume less because they're eating in a smaller window. And there are some excellent studies which compare intermittent fasting to just normal calorie restriction, and there's no benefit from it if calories are equated, because that's just physiology. If we're eating less calories, we will lose weight. So for some people, it can be fantastic because they might struggle with eating at certain points of the day, and by having set rules of when they can and can't eat, it can be really useful. And if that works for you or a person, that's brilliant. And if you can sustain that over the long term, you enjoy it. It doesn't feel like it restricts your diet and like you're really, really trying too hard to kind of follow it. Fine, you know, go for it. That's great. But if you like eating regular breakfast, lunch, dinner, and maybe a snack in between, and intermittent fasting doesn't work for you as a practice, you don't have to follow it if you're trying to lose weight because you don't need to. And it's that kind of balance and consistency. And then from the energy side of things, again, this is just a very kind of individual thing, because I do think that we're all different and that we will all have things which we get on better with and enjoy, and we process nutrients in different ways. So I think, again, if you find something that suits you and it still gives you all the energy you need, you're able, for example, if you exercise to follow, to eat enough calories, that's great. From an endurance sports point of view, I'm not a fan at all. Just because fasted training, so not eating maybe within kind of 8 hours of doing exercise from an endurance point of view is pretty bad. It's quite dangerous, especially when you're talking endurance athletes who are doing big volumes of training. So I'm not a fan from that. But yeah, so from sporting point of view, I'm not really keen. But again, if it works for the everyday person, great.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on the athlete side. I grew up with athletes in my family, and you need to refuel your body in order to perform. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't think, yeah, I think it probably might be more hurtful. I think for the regular person it works. And as you're speaking, I've also came to a realization is that when I, it's like the less I eat, the less I, not the less I eat, but the less I snack, and that's the thing, like, right? Because I used to be a huge snacker. Like, I love my like snack in between, even if it's healthy. But what I've noticed is that the more I snack, the more I want to snack, and the more I'm hungry. Does that make sense? Versus not restricting, but kind of just having like, you know, actually being hungry, having a meal, getting full really quickly from like, you know, a normal portion. But if I like before, I remember like if I just have like meals and then a snack, I want to eat more. So I feel like the less I eat, and I eat, don't get me wrong, like I'm, you know, but the less I eat, the less I want to eat and snack, if that makes sense. So that's where intermittent fasting for me is a winner, you know, like in that sense, because I think it forced me to be like, oh, I get full faster and I'm not as tempted to like continue to snack. And that's what I've noticed at least.
Yeah, and exactly. And if it works for you, that's fab. I think there'll be some people it just doesn't, and actually they might get way too hungry or inadvertently not consume enough calories because their mindset is kind of towards the restricting. And there is a big thing or something to say for listening to your body. And if you are finding that you're frequently getting hungry, it might well be that actually you just need to eat more. I mean, I am probably slightly biased towards eating or wanting people to eat more, because in endurance sports it's a huge issue with people not eating enough, because there's a real focus on being lean and being as light as possible, but actually that's really damaging for a lot of people, especially from a mindset point of view. And so I will always try to encourage clients to think, actually, am I hungry because I'm just bored? And this goes back to the whole obesity and mindset, but am I eating because I'm bored, I'm anxious, I'm stressed? Or actually, is it just my body is hungry and it's saying, please eat? Because it's a clever thing. And so it's trying to work out those cues and what is a genuine hunger cue or not.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I think a lot of us are emotional eaters, myself included, at times. And I think we don't listen to our bodies. We listen to certain routines and habits, like, oh, it's 12 o'clock, I should go eat lunch, or it's this time, I need to pick me up a coffee and a snack type thing, right? So I think it's just listening to your body, and to your point, like, is it because I'm stressed, and especially working from home, you know, you're sedentary, you know, it's different. You know, the fridge is much closer, you know, and so on. So yeah, I think it's at the end of the day, I guess it's calories in, calories out, right? For like a regular non-athlete, like a regular person.
It is, and some people might be very unhappy if you say that, because there's a big movement of it's not as simple as calories in, calories out, but realistically it is. Like there might be some nuances in that, and maybe we'll learn more over the next 10 years and I'll completely change my tune. But at the end of the day, it is.
James, I'm curious, where can people get in touch with you? Where can they find you? Where you are in different places. So what's the best place for somebody to reach out to you?
Yeah, so I'd say the two websites, so hurrythefoodup.com and nutritiontriathlon.com. And then you have links to our Instagram, YouTube, and emails and everything there.
Perfect. I'll make sure to share that in the show notes. And the last question I ask all of my guests, what is one question you wish people would ask themselves more often?
I would say it's, am I enjoying now? I think there are way too many people who miss the beauty and the happiness that's going on, or that you can get from the present moment, because they're always in the future. It's kind of, it'll be better when, or like, I want to do something else. And I think we miss so much around us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I've enjoyed this conversation. So thank you so much, James, and for the work that you're doing to create healthier communities. I appreciate you, and hopefully we will speak again.
Yeah, lovely. And thank you as well, Elena. Great to chat to you.